Good evening. Thank you so much for coming. We are now approaching Parshas Kisavo and Rosh Hashanah within 2 weeks. The major mitzvah in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo is the mitzvah of Bikurim. Very good. So the Torah says in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel of Devarim, Uvasa el HaKohen, Asher Yeh B'mayim Ahem. You're going to go to the Kohen of those days. V'amar Ta'alav. He got it to Hayom L'Hashem Elokecha. You tell him. You know, I arrived. Kivasi ala aris asher nishba Hashem la'avasinu la'saslanu, etc. You know, as we say, vidui bikurim, mikra bikurim rather. And you approach the kohen, you take your first ripened fruits, you go to the kohen, you deliver the fruits to the kohen, and you say certain psukim, etc. And if you were to read the Torah without any Torah Shabbat peh, who brings the bikurim to the kohen? The individual. You go alone. When you, the farmer, see that your fruits are ripe, you bring your fruits to the Kohen. Okay, good. The Rambam paskins, like the many Mishnayos in Meseches Bikurim, which beautifully explain the procession that took place, whereby we didn't just deliver the Bikurim as individuals, but we really did it as a community, right? Anyone know the details about how we delivered Bikurim, right? So the Rambam says, in Meseches Bikurim, Perek Dalet, Hachas Hezayin, Ketzet Malin, Meseches Bikurim, how would you deliver them to Yerushalayim, well, kol ha'yaros sheba ma'amad. So imagine all of us were in the same ma'amad. You know, Klaus were divided up into 24 ma'amados. Midkansos li'iro shel ma'amad. So we'd go to, let's say, Fairlawn, assuming Fairlawn was in Eretz Yisrael for a second. So let's say we'd all go to the city. Kedesh shelo ya'alu yechidim. We don't want to go as individuals, specifically. Why? Shenamar b'rovam hadras melech. We know Pasuk of Mishlei, and there's a halacha as well, that we should honor the king by being a larger crowd. And the king is honored by being a larger crowd. So if we do a mitzvah as an individual, that's okay. But there's a better way to praise the king. It's more glorious. You serve the king better to some degree if you do it in a larger crowd. Okay. So again, the Rambam goes on that we would all sleep in the town square the night before. And then in the morning, we'd all get up. And there was an ox that traveled in front of us. And what happened? Right, its horns were what? And remember the horns? Gold. Yeah, it was plated with gold, right? And had the basket with the olive branches, whatever. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And there was a flute playing. And the last halacha I quoted here, underlined, is V'lo hayu mahalchin kol hayom. We actually would not walk all day to Yerushalayim. Ela shtei yados bayom. If you could divide the day into thirds, so we walked the first third, and we walked the final third. But we did not walk in the middle of the day. Now, this halacha I did not know. Why? Because I've learned the Mishnayos Bikurim. And when I saw it presented in the Rambam, he threw this line in there. I did not even know what it meant. Because the Rambam is paskening like the Gemara Yerushalmi. And the Derech Amuna, maybe one of the more underrated Svarim, written by the late Rav Yaakov Kenievsky, Rav Chaim Kenievsky, Zecher Tzadik V'racha, the son of the Stipler Gaon, Rav Yaakov Kenievsky, and Rav Chaim wrote many, 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 many Svarim. One of them was the Derech Emunah. The Derech Emunah essentially is the Mishnah Brura on the Rambam's Sefer Zeraim. It's a brilliant work where Rav Chaim Kanievsky basically just gives a very simple explanation to the Rambam, and then he has a more elaborate background than what he calls the Be'or Halacha, just like the Mishnah Brura has the Be'or Halacha. So he literally wrote like a Mishnah Brura on the Rambam, and it's even the font and everything, the layout is just like the Mishnah Brura. So in the Derech Emunah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal, he explains, well, why did they only travel in these two thirds, the first third and the final third? Shlish rishon shel hayom shlish acharon, ubeshlish emtzai shecham biyoter hayu nachim. They would rest in the middle of the day. Why? Because the middle of the day is hot. What? Siesta. Okay, you call it siesta, right? Yeah, that's true. They do nap, right, right. Right, that's right, that's right. It's very hot, and therefore they take a siesta in the middle of the day. They would not travel at night. They wanted to make sure there was no tumah issues at the night time. So that's so reason number one that they didn't travel in the middle of the day because it was simply too hot, siesta time, as Dr. Karp put it beautifully. The second reason, very practical, psychological reason. If we push too hard this time, we're not going to want to do this mitzvah ever again. It's too hard. I mean, if they travel and it's too hot, so, okay, so it's very connected to the first reason. But number one, it's too hot, so we want to rest. And number two, it's too hot, and if we make people do this, they're not going to want to do it in the future. Fascinating. All right, so let's just push up shot in the Rambam. But what emerges from this Rambam is that they would specifically do the mitzvah of Bikurim, Berov, Am, Hadras, Melech. Okay, very nice. The Radvaz has a commentary on the Rambam as well, in certain parts of the Rambam. And here comes the Radvaz. He says, wait a minute. They would only travel in the morning and then in the final third of the day. He says, well, that's the Yerushalmi. What halachic principle is being put aside by only traveling in the beginning of the day and continuing on in the end of the day? Jerome Gans on fire. There it is. That there's a part of this Neida near the Feladasas Hashem. We paskin like that concept, meaning that is the Makor of Zrizus, right? Totally. We should daven early. So Lahadir Samitzos Hayu Osin Cain. Wait a minute. So says the Red Vaz, I have a kasha. What about Zrizus? Zrizus means you do the mitzvah as early as possible. So why not rush to do the Bikurim in the morning? Why not rush? Well, because if we were to rush, what would be at stake? You'd lose out seemingly on Berov Am. Meaning we need to accommodate the masses over here. Right, it says Ukidei she'ischabru mikol hayaros. We want to give time for everyone to gather together. Wow. And it makes the mitzvah more beautiful. So this evening, we're going to learn a sugya that the Achronim really have a lot of debate about, is where we kind of suspend Zrizus and when we suspend Berov Am. Because there's the two halachic realities. You want to do mitzvahs quickly. You also, efficiently, you want to do them early and in an excited fashion, Zrizus. And also, you also want to do it with a mass. So hypothetically, if there was an individual who wanted to have a vasikin minyan on Rosh Hashanah, so that is Zrizus or not Zrizus? That's as Zoriz as it gets. But how many men might come to that minyan? 12, 13, 14. Hypothetical situation over here. So I'm totally hypothetical. So me and Adam have signed up for the vasikin minyan. We're one of two of 12. Right? Now, that is Zrizus. Great. But if we were to wait two more hours or so, we would... Okay, maybe not fulfill the mitzvah of Zrizus, but we'd get Berov Am. So is it better to daven at the main minyan, Berov Am, and lose out on the Zrizus? Or is it better to daven with less people, you lose out on the Berov Am, but you get the Zrizus? What would you say? Oh, so Avram Avinu, he was the Zariz, and we certainly have the halach. I mean, they say the Makoros, the source for Zrizus, is black on white. Like, Avram Avinu did it. Saying Berov Am. Okay, now again, we have many Makoros and Shazi and Gemar Pesachim, the way they brought. Oh, it's a hiddur, meaning it's a cherry on top as opposed to what? Zrizus, which you would describe as what? Oh, Lamdisha, Achrainisha, and we're going to say it exactly like you, Jerome. Yeah.
But it's not even a good example.
What do you mean?
A good comparison.
Why?
Because that presumes that the people who are going to do the Zrizus will be at the expense of the Rov Am.
Meaning
these
what?
These Rov Am are just going to wake up later. These same Rov Amniks are going to go to the convenient 8 o'clock, 8:30 later.
So?
There'll still be a Rov Am. It'll be a rover am at the later minyan.
But how do I get Rov Am? If I daven early, I miss out on Rov Am. I mean, I did a mitzvah.
The guys who go to the Jesus minyan,
yeah,
will miss out on Rov Am.
Yeah. So is that okay, or should they wait for Rov Am? They have to choose between Rov Am and Jesus. So Jerome says, well, Jesus seems to be a better, a higher priority. Anyone want to disagree? Anyone have any?
Depends on the mitzvah.
Oh, yeah, this is a good secret. We spoke about this topic on Purim. No, you're not exactly. We spoke about the role of the Rov Am in Mikra Megillah, because specifically by Mikra Megillah, there is a unique element of the Rov Am, which is exactly what Shlomo Menashe, the salesman, would pitch to us, that it might depend on the mitzvah, and this might be a case-by-case sugya. Maybe certain mitzvahs, Zrizus is more of a significant factor, maybe like Bris Mila. I don't know, something related to Avram Avinu, whatever. Or something maybe like Purim, there might be a unique din of Berov Am by Mikra Megillah. See, the Maamishis are all halachic factors. And believe it or not, the main source for this sugya is a Rosh Hashanah din. So we got to learn Bikurim from the Parsha, Kisavo. And let's learn a Mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Ha'over lifnei ha'teva, if you are the chazan on Rosh Hashanah, b'yom tov shor Rosh Hashanah, who is the one who blows shofar? Not the Baal Shachris, but Hasheni Maskiya. It's the Baal Musaf who has to deal with the Tkiya shofar. Okay, in contrast to B'shas Halel, if you were davening on a Yom Tov when Halel is recited, Harishon Makres HaHalel. We don't delay Halel to Musaf, rather Halel is recited at Shachar. So the Rishon is the Baal Shachar, and the Sheni is the Baal Musaf. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Ma'ishna Sheni Maskiya, why do we delay Tkiya Shofar to Musaf? Mishum? Yeah, exactly that. Rov Am Hajus Melech. Yeah, I have actually, I didn't delete all the letters there. One of those is probably not meant to be, whatever. Bidirov Am Hajus Melech. Okay, so what's the question? Wait a minute. I mean, what are we saying? That more people are in shul by Musaf time, so wait for the crowd to be more full. Ihachi, if that's the case, that Rov Am is better. Halel Nami Nema Bisheni. So Halel should also be recited, not on Shachar, but on Musaf. No. Mishum Dibarov Am, I'm sorry, that's not Dibarov Am. Elena, Maishna Halel Bisham, Mishum Dizrizur Machdim in the Mitzvos. We want to do Halel early because it's Rizus. So with circular logic. So Tzkianami Navid Barisham. Wait a minute. So if Zrizus is a thing, so Tzkiya Shofar should also be Bishachus. And the Gemara, Mishum Dizrizur Machdim in the Mitzvos. You have to choose. But be consistent. Which is a more significant halachic principle, Barov Am or Zrizus? Amr Rabbi Yochanan, B'shas Hashmad Shanu. What this really means is that which one's really more important? Zrizus. Oh. And why do we not blow shofar at Shachris? It was a very unique, unfortunate circumstance of B'shas Hashmad, Jewish persecution. Rashi explains that the Oivim Gazru Shelo Yitku. There was a decree from the non-Jews, our enemies, that we shall not blow shofar. And apparently it was harder to get away with blowing the shofar in the Shachris. But if we were to lay to Musaf, we were able to get away with it. By the way, there are major sugyas, Mishnayos, I forget exactly, Mishnah, Gemara, whatever, but the Gemara discusses blowing a shofar into a pit. That's a labor. And if you only hear the echo, you're not Yotze. That's the source for all of electronic sound and halacha, microphones, etc. Why were they blowing into pits? The Mishnah explained to avoid our enemies from hearing the sounds, exactly, right? So Rahman al-Aslan, you can't take our safety for granted. So that's Rashi's explanation. Tosfos, though, come on and have a different explanation. Because if Rashi is right, so what happens when the Gezerah is over? Meaning, what if there's no Shas HaShemad anymore? We should really be blowing the shofar at Shachris. It says Tosfos, we don't go back to the original decree. I mean, even though logically we should say, well, really, it should always be a Shachris. Because we always have to be afraid of a Shas HaShemad. Meaning, if it happened once, it could happen again. And we always assume that blowing shofar at Musaf is safer. Now, if you're reading this Tosfos in 2022... there's certainly no distinction between Shachris and Musaf. If anything, you get away with it earlier at Shachris. You know, when we daven at 7:10 on Shabbos morning, very quiet streets of Fairlawn, right? You know, if there was any chever who wanted to do anything wrong, they're sleeping, you know, if I'm not mistaken. So halachically, I would have concluded that Zrizus is the overriding principle. We should always blow at Shachris. But then Tosfos says there's another explanation as to why we blow at Musaf, because of the Gemara Yushalmi. What was the Gemara Yushalmi? The Mefar Yushalmi, Shedamu ha'oivim shenis'afu litko atshua milchama. Oh, that they, non-Jews, the non-Jews heard us blowing shofar, and they mistakenly interpreted the shofar blasts for sounds of war. And what do they do? V'amdu aleim v'hargum, and they unfortunately killed Jews in response. So therefore, l'kach tiknu tkios brachos b'musaf. We don't mess with that anymore. Why? So what's the advantage of blowing a Musaf? Because what's going to happen? We're going to have Kriyas Shema, we're going to daven, they're going to be Kriyas HaTorah. So by the time we blow the shofar, the non-Jews will have already caught on to the fact that the Jews are doing their thing. Inun askin kubechukayem of Torahsam. The Jews are doing their prayers. So therefore, we always blow the shofar at Musaf. Whoa. But if we were to conclude the shir here, what trumps what? Berov Am or Zrizus? It appears Zrizus. And the only reason we don't blow the shofar at Shachris is for very, very technical reasons of historical persecution and stuff like that. But really, in the most pure sense of the halacha, Zrizus is everything. Oh, yeah, Berov Am is nice. I want to call it a hiddur. Beautiful. I think so. Stuart says if Hilchos Tefillah, should you daven Vesikim Bechidus versus Minyan later?
Yeah.
It depends. I think it depends.
If you always daven,
that's it. If you always daven Vesikim every day, then it does override. I know some. My uncle. So Stuart says very nice. Meaning there you have a very clear example where the halacha acknowledges. An individual who always is makbid on vesikin, and there the halacha embraces his reasons and doesn't tell him, "Come on, you should really wait for Berov Am." Very good. That's a nice, raya. I hear that. He's missing all the brachos. Very good. Yes, I know someone who daven vesikin every day, but will never miss minyan. Meaning, if he davens early, he'll then go to shul. Well, my uncle, I'll give him Eli Edelman, lives in Beit Shemesh, one of the lamed vav tzaddikim. Used to run the OU. Now he's retired. He's hiding in Beit Shemesh.
But there are people that daven vasikin out of convenience. I mean, they
daven
later, so they daven vasikin, but that's not out of
zvizas. No, of course, yeah. But I hear the Stuart Borger. I like, of course, especially when the
your
winter
guy,
months.
Your guy is out of.
Yeah, he's a pie. He's the real. In the summer months at 5 a.m., he's doing his thing. You had a question, Drew?
I've asked whether this come across somebody who was daven vasikin as opposed to.
Yeah. Yeah, unless the guy's diehard every day. I think the halacha changes when he's a daily vasikin guy, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Again, and as you pointed out, it might be mitzvah by mitzvah. There's certainly a concept of sanctuary.
And there is a vasikin minyan in
Pesach. In Pesach, there's in Beth Abraham. And guess who started the vasikin minyan in Beth Abraham? My uncle, Eli Edelman. And now he's a Beit Shemesh. But even though he's a Beit Shemesh, his minyan is still very much alive and well. Okay. So the Chaye Adam, the Acharon who really paskins like this, makes it abundantly clear. The Chaye Adam in Klal Samech Ches gives you just general rules about mitzvahs. And in Sif Vav, he writes, Zrizin makdimen lemitzvah, meaning, Davar shemitzvaser bayom, yaktim baboker lasoso. So if the mitzvah is a daytime mitzvah, do it in the morning, like Vayashkim Avram baboker. So anytime you have a mitzvah that's a nighttime mitzvah, do it ideally earlier in the night. So he gives the Marv, right? So ideally, you would be davening Marv at the onset of the nighttime. By the way, in Eretz Yisrael, it's much more common for them not to daven Mincha Marv together at Shkis. Much more common for them to daven Mincha, have a little bit of a break. And then they'll daven Marv at the beginning of Tzeis HaKocham. Very much, much more common. As opposed to what we do here in America, where we do Shkia. It's a 20-minute window. Yeah, the sun sets much quicker. Yesh v'yesh. It's probably better than Zman. But you don't need to. It's a huge machlok about the ideal time to daven Mincha. You really have every shita. Every opinion is represented. You know, like the Chassidim on the Arizal are makbet to daven at the end with the sunset, imdimdu mechama. The ideal, real, if you really want to be like the most halachic out there, will daven mincha ktana before plag, because that's precisely when the korban was brought. Yeah. Yeah, so there's also another shot if you're really allowed to daven mincha after plag. We don't really talk about that too often, though, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Again, there's certain ways to stay on the Rambam. Yeah, it's a good sugya. Maybe we'll do it and save it Bereshis when we get to Yitzchak Avinu. Maybe we'll talk about that sugya. But yeah, it's a little bit of a sensitive halacha because you don't want to come off too machmir. But ultimately, anything you do is okay as long as you daven from Mechagdol to Shkia. And practically, kind of just know what fits into your schedule. The main thing, though, is to daven mincha and not miss mincha. That's hard enough. All right, that's the conclusion. But yes, yeah, Stuart is certainly alluding to halacha. All right, maybe we'll get there another time. All right, Sif Yud Aleph, though, in the Chai Adam, in addition to Zrizus, he brings down this other klal. Kol mitzvah sheyachal asus b'chabura, yasa b'chabura. Lo b'yachid, if you have the opportunity to do a mitzvah with a larger crowd, do it. That's the pasuk of Amajus Melech. V'amru chazal, ein odome merubim ha'osim mitzvah l'miyuta shosim. But here's the punchline. How much is berov am? What would you say a crowd is? We've been assuming until this time that these two terms are interchangeable, minyan and berov am. Chai Adam comes out with a little bit of a trick here. This is basically Gemara Menachos, mashma de shlosha have rov am. So this has now justified our vasikin minyan. Not only is it clear from Shas that that Zrizus trumps berov am, we even have both. We can have our cake and eat it. Kola Deos here, because three people is already Barov Am. Now you could argue, come on, what are you talking about? It's clearly Barov Am in the main shul, and it's clearly less Barov Am in a 12-man minion. Like, it's hard to almost deny that. However, it's not what the Chai Adam says. The Chai Adam says is a concept of three people being Barov Am, and guess what? That's how the Chavetz Chaim presents this halacha, hiding in the Biur halacha. So here it is. There's a Shulchan Aruch that we're all familiar with. When do you recite Kiddush Levana? Shulchan Aruch says, Motzei Shabbos, Or HaChaim, Tav Chav Vav, Beis. You should be wearing night clothing, and you should be Mevusam. You smell nicer, apparently, on Shabbos. Okay. Now the Ramah says, wait a minute. You don't always wait until Motzei Shabbos. Depends. What day of the month is Motzei Shabbos going to be? V'davki Milel Motzei Shabbos, who kodem Yud. You only wait till Motzei Shabbos if Motzei Shabbos is before the 10th of the month. As mamtinim ad Motzei Shabbos. Avalim hu achagach. If Motzei Shabbos will already be the 10th of the month, ein mamtinim ad Motzei Shabbos. Shem yu beis laylas or gimel. O dalanonim. If you have a few more cloudy nights after that, you're going to miss the mitzvah. No way. But the biur halacha then goes into this shaila. He says, wait a minute. Do you even need a minyan to recite Kiddush Levana? Absolutely not. You can say Kiddush Levana b'yichidus lechatchila b'rovam. That's fine. All right. So now here's the shaila. Here is the shaila. Ulahachi im yodei sheyizdamin lo levarich basar la'achar eze yamim ad leil azir. So if I wait two more nights to recite Kiddush Levana, I'm going to be able to recite Kiddush Levana with a minyan, or at least b'rovam. So you know what? I should really wait. Like the Ramah, right? But, says the Bir Halacha, but based on the Chaye Adam, you don't need to wait. Why? To b'shlosh anam nigar b'rovam, ein sarach b'shvil asar lahamtin an le'al yud. So as long as you have three men on a Tuesday night saying Kiddush Levana together on 2nd Street, I'm sure you can pull this off rather easily. So what are you waiting for Motzei Shabbos for? Oh, well, we'll have a minion. Minion? Who needs a minion? So again, practically, we generally only recite Kiddush Levana on a Motzei Shabbos, unless it's cloudy, then we say it after. But what I want to draw from this, though, is that the Chavetz Chaim is paskening like the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam has made it into the big leagues, in the sense that here you have the Chavetz Chaim writing that the three individuals is considered Barov Am according to Chai Adam, and it's not a Chai Adam that is dismissed, it's a Chai Adam that is embraced. And halachically, therefore, if one were to say, I'm not sure, should I recite Kiddush Levana tonight with my friends on 2nd Street with 3 to 5 people, or should we wait till Motzei Shabbos? 10 people, the weather forecast is a little cloudy. So, you know what? 3 people is already Barobam.
What about 1?
No, 1
is
not. Yeah.
Up until the 10th.
Yeah.
You should try to do
a quote. Yeah, well, I think it's more about Motzei Shabbos.
Okay.
Yeah, Motzei Shabbos, because you're dressed nicely. It's sort of like hiddur mitzvah there. Yeah, that's the advantage of Motzei Shabbos. Yeah. He's saying that midina lahalacha, you don't need to do this. Meaning, you know, there's no question that there's a different, you know, maybe tier of the halacha, but he points out. Right. So the Bir Halacha basically is saying that Zrizus is not to be ignored. Right, that's for sure. That's for sure. Right, right.
This is a halakha that will change the Zman Hazeh.
Yeah, why?
Say it's night 9 is Thursday night.
Yeah.
But you have the weather forecast.
Yeah.
And it's going to be clear Saturday night and Sunday. So
right.
Night 11 and 12 will be clear, so you could.
Yeah. So the Kiddush Levana halakha does get more lenient with weather forecasts. But again, I thought it was interesting that the Bi'ur halakha does present this sheet of the Chayyadim that three people already, again, is considered to be at some degree Barova. So just in Lamdis, there is an Achronish hak in this sugya, and Jerome Mamish nailed it like totally on the head. How to present the reason why maybe Zrizus would be superior to Barovam. So there is a sefer written named Minchas Eliyahu. Minchas Eliyahu has an author. Who is the sefer written by? Rav Yitzchak Kolitz, the Rav of Yerushalayim. He's still the Rav of Yerushalayim? I don't know who that is. But I just don't know who it is. But the Minchas Eliyahu. Well, yeah, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. The former, that makes sense. At the time this was presented, he was. Right, okay. Now, once upon a time we quoted, not Rav Aryeh Stern, but Rav Aryeh Stern of KBY. That's when I learned about Rav Aryeh Stern, the Shiva Rabbi of Yerushalayim. All right, that makes sense. Okay. But, all right, so now this former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Yitzchak Kolitz, I don't know how to pronounce his name properly, but maybe it's Kolitz. So he, in the Minchas Eliyahu, does explain the following. He says like this. Zrizus, you know what it is a chelek in the mitzvah itself. Meaning if you were to say, when you daven shachris, so part of davening shachris maybe is washing your hands, having kavana, and davening bezrizus. It's part of the actual mitzvah. In contrast, berov am, right. And yeah, I mean, intrinsic in the mitzvah is the preference to daven earlier. It's part of the mitzvah of shachris. I mean, davening shachris earlier is part of the mitzvah. Like, there's a mitzvah called shachris, and the earlier you daven, the better you do the mitzvah. It's a better version of the mitzvah. In contrast with Barov Am, he says that's more of a broad concept, but not really intrinsically linked to the mitzvah per se. Says Mash Enkin Barov Am She'ena Halacha B'Mitzvah Atzma Ele Mitzvah Klalit L'Hader Pnei Melech. We should always be looking to honor the king. Uberov Am Hu Hider. So Rov Am is a beautiful thing to do. Aval Ein Ze Hider O Chavivut Shel HaMitzvah Atzma. I know sometimes with these Achronim, it's a very very fine line, and you could almost say the exact opposite. So you always have to know kind of how to learn these sugyas, but this is what we call an achronish sugya. But the drum is literally exactly what you said, that Zrizus is like part of the mitzvah, it's a string to the mitzvah, as opposed to Barov Am is more outside of the mitzvah, and therefore Zrizus is best. That doesn't make sense? You said this before. You hear it or no?
What?
You hear it or no?
I hear this.
Yeah, you hear it.
You can rationalize it very easily.
Yeah, why?
You're a Zariz.
Yeah.
So when you do a mitzvah, you're doing it bezrizus. Rov Am is a function of many people doing the mitzvah. It's not you individual. It's many people doing the mitzvah at the same time.
So you want to say almost like Rov Am is a chobet hatzibur. And zrizus is like a chobet hayach.
Zrizus is the way you do a mitzvah. You can do it without zrizus. You can do it with zrizus. But you can't do Rov Am. Rov Am needs...
Yeah, good. So should I wait for it?
No, you're not doing Barov Am by everybody coming at the same time.
Yeah.
Then
right, you can't right. Right, right. You, right.
Individuals deciding which one you need to
adopt. Yeah.
Megillah reading, right?
If there's no Zvizis, yeah. If there's Zvizis, it's not
right. So
but if you daven Shachar Benetz, you from the Tzibur.
Oh, so yeah, so ideally with the Tzibur, unless you daven it every day.
Yeah.
Very good. So there are two more, it's 8:57. Number one, there is in this sugi, you can't ignore the following mishabur. It's a little different than our sugi, but we do this every Shabbos, right? We daven hashkama with 30 people or whatever. And what we're doing is that we're doing the zrizus, but we're not waiting for the 9 o'clock minion. Berovam, right? So clearly, you know, no one's going to get up and say that Hashkama Minyanim are a treif because, you know, Berovam.
Right.
Without getting into the...
That was an argument years ago.
So there's an argument about shul politics and achdus and not breakaway minyan. So look at this one.
Before dawn is a different issue.
Yeah.
So netz is appropriate.
Oh. So misha olech b'shabbos v'yom tov b'hashkama this power of the minyan asara, ki rov tzibur ma'achim tfilosim. So let's say you don't want to have at 9 o'clock, right? The main minyan is too late, right? It's my cup of tea, right? We all know what this is talking about. You know, we're not, you know, 7:10. Uva osa minyan b'spalim gam tfilas musaf. But they also daven musaf. Wait, we also daven musaf right away. So we daven earlier and we daven musaf. But really, what could we have done? We could have davened shachar on time and then chapped the Berovam from Musaf. Yoser tov leilech lispal al Musaf im atzibur b'beis haknesses. But he's talking about people who are not davening in shul.
Yeah. He can't daven Musaf b'yachid if the tzibur didn't daven yet.
Sorry. So this is a little bit of a different deal.
Unlike
shachar. He's talking about people who are not davening in a shul. So hypothetically, if every Shabbos I had a minyan in my house, and then we daven Musaf right away, the Mishnah would say, no. Berov am hadras melech. And that's why, all right, so now Megillah, there's a unique din. But then the question comes up by Megillah, what if I wanted to have a vesikin on Purim? So now we're really in a pinch, right? Because Berov am is a thing by Megillah. But vesik is also a thing by Megillah. And the Chashuke Chemed was asked this question. And again, didn't we learn that Zrizus is better than Berov Am in Rosh Hashanah? So that's what he says. He says, our sugya in Rosh Hashanah indicates that Zrizus trumps Berov Am. And then he says, exactly what Shlomo said, but then maybe it's case by case. Maybe it's mitzvah by mitzvah.
It's like you said before, it's if you daven always.
That's true.
Then you should daven b'yachid.
That's right. So he says like this.
Oh, I want to be a pious guy, you know. Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to be zrisus. That's not the case.
That's right. So he says by Megillah, he says maybe in that case it's better to wait to Berov Am because that's part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah. Then we say the whole advantage of zrisus and lamdus is part of the mitzvah. So maybe Berov Am is part of the mitzvah. But guess what? What do we say Berov Am is? Only three people. So you always have the Chayim Meraya, and we have a minion. So you want to say that, but we don't have a Berov Am when our minion at the Pesikin is, by the way, the Pesikin minion on Purim is huge. You probably have a Berov Am according to Kol Deos. All right. Bottom line is, we have, I think we're in good hands here on the Rosh Hashanah minion. I think we're good. The only thing is that Berov Am Hadras Melech, the whole point of the Rosh Hashanah day, is to be Mahader the Melech. So we should be Makir Tov that our decisions are being made l'shem Shemayim. And then just we started with Bikurim, which is Bikurim. You know, Or Chaim is always saying, you know, Bikurim is a message. When you get to the next world, Ki Teitei is when you go out into the world, and Ki Sava is when you go back in. Ooh. And what do you have to hold? Your basket of Bikurim. What do you have to hand? You better have a basket full of, I mean, a little bit of Yiras of mine before Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. That's the Or Chaim. All right, let's do that more. There we go.